from WBUR Boston and NPR. I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Up in the club, just broke up. I'm doing my own little thing. You decided to dip, and now you want a trip. Cause another brother noticed me. Beyoncé looks strong, stands strong, and sings a lot about female empowerment, about being a grown woman, an independent woman. Sunday night at the MTV Video Music Awards, she stood against giant letters that spelled out feminist. Many swooned and applauded. Some said, wait a minute, this hour on point, Beyoncé's feminism. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Is Beyoncé the new feminist? Strong, beautiful, powerful. Is there too much sexy on parade to earn the word? Can Beyoncé be, do, both? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK, or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We've got strong women right here to pick it up. From West Lafayette, Indiana, Roxane Gay, English professor at Purdue University, columnist for Salon. Her terrific new book out this summer is Bad Feminist. Roxane, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Wonderful, and great to have you here.
From I'm New glad York, to be here.
It's wonderful to have you. From New York, Tanya Steele is here, filmmaker, cultural critic, writer for IndieWire. She wrote Beyoncé Serenades Teenage Boys and Black Feminists after Beyoncé released her visual album. Tanya Steele, welcome. Great to have you as well.
Hi, Tom. Great to be here.
And from Woodstock, New York, Jessica Valenti joins us, columnist for The Guardian, U.S. founder of Feministing.com, author of Full Frontal Feminism, A Young Woman's Guide to Why Feminism Matters. Jessica Valenti, welcome.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Thank you to all three of you for joining us right here. Let me just go straight onto the record. I think Beyoncé's great, but it's so interesting to see what has broken out around her championing of the word, the idea, reality, depending on who you talk to, of feminism. There she was on Sunday night, feminist in letters as big as you're ever going to see on national TV, with that much going on in her show. And, you know, there it is, feminist. You don't see that many pop stars wrapping themselves around that in the way that Beyoncé does. At the same time, we've got headlines saying world's most controversial feminist, and people not so absolutely sure. Roxane Gay, what has this debate going on? Is it just because she's sexy? You can't be a feminist and be sexy at the same time? Is it more than that?
I think that people have very strange ideas about what a feminist looks like and how a feminist should behave. And quite frankly, I find the entire discussion of is she or is she not a feminist to be absurd, because either she is or she isn't, but talking about it isn't going to change a single thing about the state of women in this world. I think that people don't believe that feminists can be sexy and sexual, but Beyoncé is a grown married woman, and if she can't be sexual, then who the hell can? It's astounding to me that we're even having this conversation.
And yet, you've got people saying you want to push back in feminism against sexual commodification of women.
Mm-hmm.
There's Beyoncé. You've got critics saying, look, she sells herself as a sexual commodity.
Absolutely. And I understand that. And I think we can critique the sexual commodification of the female body in pop music. That's absolutely a problem. But just because she's playing the game and being capitalistic doesn't mean she's not a feminist.
A lot of this, regular people looking at this and trying to put it all together, but also some really interesting people who have been tough on this front. There was a panel that got a lot of attention back at the New School this spring. The headline was, Are You Still a Slave? Liberating the Black Female Body. And among the panel members was the really incisive black thinker Bell Hooks. At a certain point in the conversation, she went after Beyoncé, saying that her image is damaging to young girls, even calling her a terrorist on that front.
I see a part of Beyoncé that is in fact anti-feminist, that is assaulting, that is a terrorist, in the sense of, especially in terms of the impact on young girls. I actually feel like the major assault on feminism in our society has come from visual media.
The visual media, Beyoncé as anti-feminist, as a terrorist. Tanya Steele, you've raised questions about Beyoncé's feminism. Bell Hooks took it all the way.
Yes, Bell Hooks. I actually was, I watched that live, and I thought that the response to Bell Hooks was a little strong. considering her body of work. I do believe that Beyoncé, if she's claiming herself to be a feminist, is a feminist. I don't think we should question that. However, I think that she does, in her music and in her visuals and the lyrics, there's a contradiction. And I think the contradiction is confusing for girls, as I do a lot of work with young girls, girls who have been sex trafficked and girls who have been sexually abused or molested. And when I communicate with them about pop media, pop stars, I ask them about Beyoncé and how they feel about Beyoncé. And they tell me that they're confused, that they're seeing that she's delivering a message of sexual empowerment, but at the same time, she is using her body or trying her best to fit the standard of what beauty is supposed to be or what beauty is seen as in the culture. So there are contradictions within her framework, and it puzzles me. I don't think there's enough of a conversation about that. I think people want to shut it down. And it was puzzling to me that people attacked bell hooks stronger than they attacked Jay-Z and his lyric. I just didn't understand. I'm here to learn because I don't really understand what the contradictions or what the complication is in challenging Beyoncé's representation as a feminist. I think that needs to be challenged. She's an artist.
Well, we'll look at it.
To critique it.
Yeah, we'll look at it right here. Jessica Valenti, give her the word, and yet maybe there are contradictions to look at here or not. How do you see it, Jessica? Can you have all sides of this the way Beyoncé in her power and majesty and all the rest seems determined to do, or are there contradictions that are worth talking about here, Jessica?
Well, I mean, certainly there are contradictions worth talking about. I think just because someone is a feminist doesn't mean that they're above criticism, and I think there are conversations to be had about capitalism and consumerism and materialism and the way that plays out certainly in pop culture and in the music industry. But what I found interesting is, you know, Beyoncé is this incredibly powerful, maybe the most powerful celebrity in the world, comes out as a feminist, and we want to place sort of this intersection of patriarchy and capitalism squarely on her shoulders rather than talking about the larger systemic issues. And again, this doesn't mean that Beyoncé is above criticism, but I think there are more interesting questions that we could be asking.
Well, here's this one. It's on the table. A lot of people love Beyoncé. She's a hero to many, and people don't want to shut it down, as Tanya says. And yet, when you stand in front of the word feminism, people are going to raise questions. Here's a little tape from Madia Badi. This is a young Muslim American, spoken word poet. Published a poem in 2012 critiquing Beyoncé's appearance in her music video for Run the World.
Yeah, I watched a video the other day of my girl, Beyoncé. She was draped in feathers and furs and things, exaggerated makeup and big chunky rings. She was dancing in the desert, hair whipping wild. And I thought to myself, what does this look like to a child? To see a woman belt about her power while thrusting her hips to and fro. How will she know she can wear the pants in the house when her idol doesn't wear them in a video? I mean, on so many levels, it makes me go ballistic that we've consented to be portrayed as animalistic.
A little poetic critique there from Madia Bhatti. Roxane Gay, how do we know she can wear the pants in her house when she doesn't wear pants in her video?
Because I think we're talking about pants metaphorically. And, you know, certainly we can critique Beyoncé, Rihanna, Katy Perry. These women have long abandoned pants. And they have. I mean, my mom believes that, you know, they just don't believe in pants anymore. And she's probably right.
Yeah.
And it is interesting to see. But I think, one, we have to look at what we call heroes and role models. And we have to look at how we can reorient what we think about public figures and reorient what we consider heroic. Because I think Beyoncé is awesome, but I mean, she's not a hero. And I also think that she can be fierce and playing the capitalistic game of the recording industry and still let everyone know that she wears the pants. She's clearly running the world. I mean, it's not even a question. Everything she does indicates that she's running the world, and we're willing to let her do that. And I agree with what Jessica said. Why are we placing the responsibility for this solely on the shoulders of Beyoncé? It's the same thing that happened with Sheryl Sandberg's Lean In, where everyone, she was expected to solve all of the problems of womanhood. But we don't ask that, for example, of white male CEOs. And we certainly don't ask white male or male performers or rappers to change what they're doing. We're demanding Beyonce, we're holding Beyonce to a different standard. And that's what I talk about in Bad Feminist. We shouldn't be held to different standards.
Tanya Steele, just a second before the break, but I mean, she's clearly got strength, cultural strength, artistic strength. This is a strong woman. In some sense, shouldn't that be enough, Tanya?
I like Beyonce. I think she's great. I think she's very powerful. I think in this moment, she is probably the most powerful woman on the planet. And as a result, maybe even the most powerful person on the planet. And as a result, we're going to critique her work. It's not, I don't want people to dissect her as a person or dissect her life. I'm not interested in that. I simply want to take a look at the imagery that she's putting forth, take a look at how she's representing herself as a feminist. Talk about that within the context of the feminist legacy.
We will do it right here. Tanya, hold the thought if you'd be kind enough. We've got a break right here. Tanya Steele, Roxane Gay, Jessica Valenti. Great to have you all here. We're looking at Beyonce's feminism. 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. What do you think? I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. We're talking this hour about Beyonce's feminism. The superstar performer has put female empowerment at the heart of her music, but a lot of other things too, shaking that booty, that leaves some people confused or skeptical. Roxane Gay is with us this hour, author of Bad Feminist, columnist for Salon. Tanya Steele is here, filmmaker, cultural critic. She wrote Beyonce Serenades Teenage Boys and Black Feminists. Jessica Valenti's here, author of Full Frontal Feminism. And you can join us. Is Beyonce an icon of feminism to you? When she stood in front of the giant word feminist at the VMAs, were you buying it? Is it obvious that she's a feminist beyond question? Or are you stumbling on her sexual presentation, nearly naked, on all fours, on stage, shaking it? Can Beyonce have it all here? We're at 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. Roxane, Tanya, Jessica, please stand by. Lots of callers here. Carol in Round Rock, Texas. Carol, thanks for calling. What do you say?
Hi. I guess I'm just a little bit appalled that this is even a question. I understand I'm a 60-year-old white grandmother with all my grandchildren are girls. I think Beyonce is one of the most talented, stunning young women on an entertainer today, and that in any way makes her feminism in question, I think is stupid. I'm sorry, just simply stupid.
So forget it. Out with the question to you. She's strength and she's wonderful, and forget the question.
Yeah, forget the question. I grew up in the feminism times. I'm sorry. That did not stop me from wanting to be beautiful or to be attractive, and it didn't stop my beautiful and attractive friends from being feminist.
Carol, we got it loud and clear, and she's clearly impressive as can be. And who else do you see standing in front of the giant word feminist on stage before that kind of audience? And yet, it's out there. You heard Bell Hooks, and she's not alone. Let's go to Nazarene in New Haven, Connecticut. Nazarene, you're on the air.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the question for me is whether Beyonce is a feminist or not. I think there are bigger questions that, as somebody who has power, should take into account, and I don't think she does. And I don't think most of her image is controlled by her. And and it's a really hard thing to say. I don't see her as an artist. She's an entertainer. She does what pleases other people. And I think people take her way too seriously. I'm 38, and I don't think anything she has to say really relates to my life. I don't need to show my boobs or my butt do feel like I'm independent.
But how can you not take a cultural figure that big seriously at some level, Nazreen? I mean, she's got throw weight culturally. People
because
pay attention.
Because I come from a place where the women I respect, who are my role models, are not that. And I have a very strong foundation. I think that what I respect and see, I'm not knocking what she does. I'm just saying that I come from a place where I feel more confident as a woman, and those the messages she's portraying, I can't relate to. I have a 7-year-old, and I don't want her to relate to that, because there's more to life than just saying I'm an independent woman, and then what? What happens when you become an independent woman? You just do whatever you want? Well, we all know that's not the case. Being an independent woman, that you have to be aware of your surroundings. You have to be respectful of other people. You have to do things based on how it makes others feel. You can't just be independent and just shake your butt all the time. That's not what it means.
Nazreen, we've got it. Bell Hooks went to this point of imagery, how it's important above all in that same panel discussion we described. Potent black thinker Bell Hooks, here she is saying, well, men don't even need to be talk against feminism. It's all about the images that go out there. Bell Hooks.
Do we even know of late any powerful man of any color who's come out with some tirade against feminism? The tirades against feminism occur so much in the image-making business, in what we see.
She went further. She said, you know, be careful. Beyonce can end up showing a kind of what she thought of as an enslaved black female body.
I feel like we have to draw those connections of our enslaved black female body to the enslaved black female bodies of all girls, all colors, with that predatory gaze.
Here's Beyonce herself on Good Morning America after the release of the visual album in December, saying she thinks she can have it all or a lot of it here.
You can have your child and you can still have fun and still be sexy and still have dreams and still live for yourself.
And Beyonce in a PSA for Sheryl Sandberg's Banned Bossy campaign in March.
I'm not bossy. I'm the boss.
Tanya, we heard somebody saying there, what about the message for young women? When Beyonce's, yes, she's about female empowerment and strength, who can deny it? But she's also almost naked on all fours on the stage. The objectification, incarnate?
I think that's the difficulty. I mean, I can only speak from how I approach this. I approach this as an activist. I approach this as someone who is a former crisis intervention counselor to victims of domestic violence and girls who were sexually trafficked. So my analysis of her imagery is about that and how that impacts young girls as they attempt to develop a sense of themselves, a sense of personal agency. I think that the conversation around Beyonce becomes, she has the right to be. She can do this. She can do that. She's a grown woman. We got that. We know that. My concern is not about that. My concern is for the young girls that are ingesting these images without any pushback. And for me, the conversation with feminism has to be around, okay, how now then do we think about having a conversation with these young girls who are confused by what they're seeing.
Yeah, she's put her feminism right out there, though. I mean, in Flawless, her latest album, she sampled a TED Talk by Nigerian novelist Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, the Nigerian wonderful thinker and novelist. You can hear Beyonce's music going on, and then right in the middle of it, Beyonce drops We Should All Be Feminists, the TED Talk from the Nigerian novelist.
A marriage can be a source of joy and love and mutual support. But why do we teach girls to aspire to marriage and we don't teach boys the same? We raise girls to see each other as competitors, not for jobs or for accomplishments, which I think can be a good thing, but for the attention of men. We teach girls that they cannot be sexual beings in the way that boys are. Feminist, a person who believes in the social, political, and economic equality of the sexes.
You wake up, housed up, round in it, blossom on it, this diamond.
But does she like to be edgy? Yes, she does, in the same song, or right off that album. Another message here, bow down, and not just bow down, but bow down bitches from Beyonce.
I know when you were little girls, you dreamt of being in my world. Don't forget it, don't forget it. Respect that, bow down bitches. I took some time to live my life, but don't think
Don't Think I'm Just His Little Wife, but also Bow Down Bitches. Jessica Valenti, help me here. I feel the strength. I feel the female empowerment. I'm trying to follow the language. How do you interpret that bundle?
I think it's complicated and it's nuanced, just like feminism is. So I don't really have I don't take issue with that. I did want to touch on something that Tanya said. You know, I share her concern about visual images and media portrayals of women, you know, from Beyoncé and beyond. But I also don't know any other social justice movement that's expected to require a dress code in the way that feminism sometimes does. And I also think that we need to have a conversation about sort of the negotiations that all of us make in a patriarchy. You know, I have a 4-year-old daughter. Every day I get dressed, you know, I put on high heels and I wear makeup. Am I sending her a message that there's one appropriate kind of femininity, and is that message damaging? Maybe it is a little, but I would also like to think that, you know, the other things that I teach her are more powerful.
I'll bring that to you, Roxanne. Let me get Sarah in Manchester, Connecticut. Sarah, you're on the air. What do you think?
Hi, Tom. Hi. I had never heard that, the Bow Down song. I'm hoping that might be hyperbolic. But the song Partition, I have a 15-year-old son, and, you know, we spend a lot of time in the car listening to NPR, and I he's always been so respectful to women. And we were talking about that song Partition this summer, and there's a line where she says, "Take all of me, I just want to be the girl you want." And she talks about how she spent 2 hours getting in a dress, and then he gets drunk and gropes on her and all this. And I said, "Wax, no woman wants to spend 2 hours getting ready to go to a club and have a man basically, you know, rape her, whether it's her husband." And, you know, Walker said, "But Mom, I think some girls like it. I mean, girls like to get up on stripper poles now." And my son is awesome. He's a great kid, and he would never go out. He's not a misogynist. But, you know, I don't mind her using her sexuality. I think women have done that for thousands of years, from Cleopatra to Beyonce. But at the same time, I don't like her giving up her career to Jay-Z and singing lyrics that really degrade her.
Well, I mean, she's hardly given up her career, I have to say, but I take your point about the tension there. Roxanne Gay, we've got Cleopatra and Beyonce in the house now. Is Beyonce taking it to a point where she can, should have the freedom to go wherever she wants sexually, and there's no shadow, no cloud, no contradiction on her feminism?
I don't think there's a contradiction on her feminism. I am simply exhausted with the question of sexuality and feminism being antithetical, because they're not. And I understand the concerns about the images that young women receive, but the issue would be grave if Beyoncé was the only source of feminism. What I believe is that what Beyoncé is doing is opening the door, and then it's our responsibility to introduce young women to bell hooks and to other feminist thinkers and places where they can learn about feminism. Expecting Beyoncé to be the sole beacon of feminism and the only representation of feminism, well, yes, if she was the only representation of feminism, we would be screwed.
But you have to acknowledge but who else stands up at the VMAs with that huge audience, the word feminist behind her? That's a kind of singular moment for feminism in our popular culture, isn't it, Roxanne?
It's a singular moment, but what she's doing is opening the door. And she's opening the door to the conversation, and she's making it possible for young women to realize that feminism isn't the F word, and it's not a slur or a bad thing. It's something that empowers them. And so I understand the critiques, and I certainly believe that Beyoncé can and should be critiqued. I take serious issue with her allowing Jay-Z's lyric in Drunken Love. But I think she's a gateway, and I think what she's done is incredible, and I don't see anyone else doing it. And I think we also have to acknowledge the charitable work that she does. She does so much more, and she doesn't bring any attention to it.
Hoorah.
But we're
going to
sit here and focus on her outfits.
Well, okay. But it's interesting to look at both strong female character, sexuality, and the role of sexuality in our culture these days, how we sit with that. We're still working something through here. Sarah in Cambridge, Massachusetts. You're on the air, Sarah.
Hi, Tom. I was raised by two very feminist parents, but they had a much more closed idea of what feminist could mean, and I was required to wear high-neck clothes and long pants all the time. Dresses had to be below my knees, and then I went to Bryn Mawr College, an incredibly feminist institution, and I found myself like really getting much more into being hard femme, like representing myself in whatever light I want to, and I think that's really what Beyoncé is about. Like, you can be, you know, in charge of yourself, you can be economically and politically equal to men and still exhibit your femininity. And I do take issue with the fact that she would be willing to sing on stage with him dropping comments about Tina Turner. And, you know, I just don't think that's appropriate at all. But she's, you know, kind of the only one really paving the way. She broadcasts feminist, and maybe that's a good thing for young women. You can be sexually powerful, you can be in charge of yourself, you can run the world and still wear whatever dress you want, and it doesn't mean that people get to rape you. Like, you know, this is all about rape culture too. Just because she's not wearing pants doesn't mean that she is, you know, at the mercy of whatever man wants to do whatever they want with her. That's super inappropriate.
So, sir, I think you're right kind of on the nub of it here. I really appreciate your call, but you also, like Roxanne, raised Drunk in Love. Hey, give her the power to express her sexuality and still have her power, her independence, her integrity. There's that Drunk in Love lyric. This is a reference to Ike and Tina Turner. Of course, that was an abusive relationship, 1993 film. And, of course, Tina Turner's real name was Anna May. There's this incident where Ike is really angry with her, yelling, "Eat the cake, Anna May," and slaps her friends across the face when she tries to defend her, sort of stuffing cake down her throat. It comes up in with Jay-Z's part in Beyoncé's song, Drunk in Love, on her latest album, Beyoncé. The reference to Ike and Tina Turner stirred some controversy after its release last year.
I'm Ike, turn up, baby, no, I don't play. Now eat the cake, anime, said eat the cake, anime, I'm nice. For y'all to reach these heights, you gon' need G3, 4, 5, 6 flights, sleep tights.
Jessica Valenti, Eat the Cake anime, and for a certain generation, it brings to mind those images of Ike just wailing on Tina Turner. I mean, I'm big on artistic license and take it where you will, but what's up with that, Jessica?
Yeah, you know, I didn't get that line. I'm not a fan. You know, so I certainly can't defend it. But I think what's more interesting than sort of picking apart and listing the ways that Beyoncé is or is not feminist is talking about the current cultural and political moment that we're in, where a star with her kind of power is using her platform to talk about feminism, to talk about pay equity, you know, referencing other feminist work. I think that's the far more sort of interesting and serious conversation.
And you've got to say the big takeaway is that I think everybody would just agree, but there's all these little points that still hang people up. It makes for good conversation. Her sexuality is so large that people still look at it, and then she brings out Ike and Tina Turner, Roxanne, and it's like, what? I mean, even there?
Yeah.
Eat the cake?
I'm appalled by that lyric, and I'm stunned that she allowed that lyric, and, you know, I'm stunned. I still, to this day, it angers me. I don't know what she was thinking. And she made a mistake, but does that detract from her feminism? Absolutely not, because feminists are not and should not be expected to be perfect. And, you know, I think we should look at the larger issue of musical lyrics. That's one of the issues that drives me craziest. I enjoy pop music, but so many of the lyrics are degrading. The word bitch is used by men and women like punctuation, and we never say anything about it, and we don't stop consuming this music, and it becomes a problem because it allows women to believe that it's okay to be called a bitch.
Roxanne, hold the thought if you would. Forgive me, but we've got another break right in front of us here. Roxanne Gay is author of Bad Feminist, and she doesn't mean we should be criticizing feminists when they take their own way. Tanya Steele is with us, cultural critic, filmmaker, joins us from New York. Jessica Valenti, author of Full Frontal Feminism. We're talking about Beyoncé's feminism. 800-423-8255. This is On Point.
Hey,
Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Beyoncé's feminism at the Video Music Awards on Sunday night. There she was, up on the stage in front of many millions, in front of giant letters spelling out the word feminist. It is by no means the first time Beyoncé has wrapped herself around that word in a time when not many pop culture stars have. Roxane Gay is with us. She's author of Bad Feminist. She's out of Purdue University, joins us from West Lafayette, Indiana. Tanya Steele is here, filmmaker, cultural critic, writer for Shadow and IndieWire, joins us from New York City. Jessica Valenti is here, daily columnist for The Guardian U.S., founder of Feministing.com and author of Full Frontal Feminism. We're thinking about Beyoncé's feminism this hour. Behind us right here, Blue, singing off her latest album, Beyoncé. She wrote the song for her daughter, Blue Ivy. Selena is calling from Salisbury, Maryland. Selena, thanks for calling. You're on the air. What do you think?
Hi, Tom. Hi. Well, this conversation just reminds me of a conversation about 30 years ago around Madonna, whether she was a feminist, whether she was making the images her own, or whether she was just another sexualized entertainer.
Yeah.
And the conversation is just almost a repeat. I don't know what the final cultural verdict is on Madonna, but she evolved over time, and I suspect that the same thing will with Beyoncé. Some stuff we like, some stuff we don't like, but...
How do you feel personally about it, Selena? Can we hold all these things together in our mind at this point? Female empowerment, feminism, sexuality, is there a contradiction, or are they, you know, harmonious now?
Well, not harmonious, but yeah, you can still hold it all together, even the parts that contradict, if that makes any sense. I mean, because as one of the, your speakers said earlier, there's just multiple images of what a feminist is, multiple definitions, there's multiple definitions of what's entertaining. But the fact of the matter is that she owns the rights to her music, that she produces it, that the money basically is what she's earning and the images that she puts up. I mean, I just applaud her from just standing up and having the sign feminist behind her because, frankly, so many people run from that label anymore.
I'm with you, Selena, and I appreciate your call. Good morning, America. Beyoncé said it was important for her to show off her new body in her visual album after the birth of her daughter.
I know finding my sensuality, getting back into my body, being proud of growing up. It was important to me because I know that there's so many women that feel the same thing after they give birth.
Barbara Walters, talking to her in 2012, said, when you say you know who are you?
I am a wife, I am a daughter, I am a friend, and I
am a woman.
Am a woman.
And more than a wife, she said to Oprah last year, her individual identity, important to her, despite being married.
The most important thing is to make sure you have your own life before you're someone else's wife. And
here, once more, spoken word poet, this is Mahida Bhatia, wondering whether Beyoncé would portray herself the same way if she were a man.
I mean, does anyone even know that Beyoncé's smart? Because if she was a boy, even just for a day, she wouldn't have to crawl on all fours to crawl up the charts or shed those fine furs to grace a few album covers. Does her husband have that problem? Apparently, he's got 99 others.
Let's go to Johnny in Dothan, Alabama. Johnny, thanks for calling. You're on. Hello, Johnny.
Thank you, Tom, for having me. This is a great conversation because I have this conversation with my two daughters, and my wife and I also adopted two of her nieces, so we have a total of four females.
Oh, boy.
And the age range from a junior in college all the way down to eighth grade. My point is Beyoncé, and not only just her, but even the, what's her name, Karen Washington that plays on Scandal.
Carrie, yeah.
To me, they are bad news for we black fathers trying to empower our females to, in other words, those characters show to me no intellect. You know, it's all about sexual. It's about doing things to reduce themselves to get ahead, especially the Scandal situation where the young lady is, you know, she's somebody's mistress. She's dating this guy who happened to be married. He happened to be the president. So it's telling our females to reduce themselves just to get ahead.
But Johnny, you say no intellect, but getting ahead is no small thing. Beyonce, you know, whatever you may think of her presentation on stage, she's put together an empire in American terms. That her intellect has engineered quite a gigantic success, hasn't it?
Well, she didn't have to go that route in order to be there. In other words, she don't have to show America or even the women across the world that they have to be a shot of butt. You know, I don't want my daughters to think that. That's why we send them to college, so they can be empowered. They can have an intellect. They can perhaps even do what you're doing, working at NPR, working at owning their own company, or be it a CEO.
Yeah.
Why reduce yourself when you don't have to?
Johnny, I really appreciate your call, and I wish you very good luck raising those four young ladies. Tanya Steele, you know, don't succeed with your backside, Johnny wants to tell his daughters, and he says Beyonce makes that tough for him.
Johnny needs to read bell hooks. Johnny can read. There's a whole library of feminists who he can introduce his daughters to. I just want to say one thing about Beyonce and why I think she resonates for girls and women is she has a very strong emotional connection. She's able to communicate a very strong emotional connection to her fans, and I think that's what people are responding to, and I think that's why they hunker down or really defend her. And I get that. I get that she can communicate and express her pain, her joys, her fears. She does that very well. And her celebration of her daughter is just beautiful to watch. It brought me to tears the other night at the VMA.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the difficulty that we're all, or that many of us are having, is the introduction of the word feminism within the context of violence as communicated by Jay-Z, within the context of writhing and you know, just displaying her butt cheek. It's not about, as Jessica was saying, a dress code. It's not about that. It's, for me, feminism has always been about stopping the flow of violence to girls and women. That's how I came into feminism, and that's when I look at people who are declaring themselves to be feminists, I look at their actions and think about how that translates then to these young girls and women, the ones that are on the margins, the poor, the ones that don't have access to resources in the way that other people do. So I'm thinking about those girls and those women and thinking about Beyonce within that framework. They connect with her. It's a heart-to-heart connection, and I'm hoping that I'm looking to see what she does next. I actually think what she does next is more important than where we are now. She's declared herself a feminist, so let's see where she goes from here.
I mean, she's been saying it for a while. I find myself wondering, you know, if feminism, Jessica, means female power. Maybe it's an American contradiction. I mean, the hip-hop artists, they're very plain. They want power, they want wealth, and, I mean, Jay-Z's message for a long time has kind of been whatever it takes. If, you know, if it's butt cheeks, and that gives you this kind of power, this kind of wealth that Beyonce's accumulated, maybe that's just the American path to power for her.
Well, I wanna disagree that feminism is about accumulating power. You know, feminism is a social justice movement for social, political, economic equality. So yes, there are contradictions, and yes, she is very powerful. And I wanna agree with Tanya and say that all of the questions that she's asking are important questions. But I think it's necessary that we're not just asking them of one artist. You know, Taylor Swift, after years of sort of equivocating, came out as a feminist last week.
Yeah.
And the response was, yay, great, wonderful, right? There was very little sort of questioning of her feminism. And I have to wonder why it is that we, you know, place so much of this sort of inner turmoil and conflict on Beyonce. Right now, we're in a political climate where there are anti-choice, anti-abortion groups who are calling themselves feminists, conservative women's groups, who are fighting against Title IX, fighting against VAWA, calling themselves and appropriating the word feminist. That's a far greater threat to feminism, I think, than anything else.
Fair enough. Of course, Taylor Swift has called herself a feminist for about 5 minutes now. to her credit, Beyonce's been at it for a lot longer. Caroline in Boston. Caroline, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks. My critique with Beyonce is more about the authenticity of her claim of being a feminist. When you stand in front of a giant glossy letters that say feminist in front of a large, young hip audience, it's almost more like a label or another piece of bold jewelry that you're flashing to the world. And I just think the message to young people, it's not the sexuality that I'm necessarily concerned with, but I just think that it doesn't translate well to a young audience when all they see is images of feminism. This is what
doesn't she embody feminism in some, at least in some significant degree, Caroline, with her independence, her strength, her even the way she owns her body? Doesn't Beyonce kind of embody many of the elements of it?
Well, she does, but I question again the authenticity of that. Mm-hmm. Is she making those decisions, or is there a panel of people, of stylists, saying yes, we're gonna slap on 6-inch heels and talk about independence? I would like to hear more from her. I'm not sure we'd be having this conversation if she sat down and gave a really, honest, intelligent interview with somebody about what feminism means to her, how she is portraying it, and where she's going with it. I just worry that we have a young generation of girls building a brand, like Beyonce. They want to build a brand instead of, picking up the books.
Yeah. Roxanne, what about it? What if it's, the suspicion that it's just marketing? It's just a good way to add another good piece of marketing to her big package.
I think marketing is absolutely part of it. But, I think feminism has never been a big seller. So if feminism is her marketing tactic, then she's nowhere near as talented as we thought she was. It has to be more than marketing. And maybe that's just me having blind faith. I'm just so heartened to see a famous woman claim feminism. So many famous women actively disavow feminism and distance themselves from feminism. Mm-hmm. And so, again, it continues to baffle me that we're having this conversation and that we're having the conversation about things that I don't think are at all relevant. As Jessica was saying, there are so many things going on a national level, at a legislative level, that are really eroding the rights of women. If Beyonce gets us talking about feminism, that's great. But Tanya also said a wonderful thing. Mm. She's interested to see what happens next. What is Beyonce going to do next? And I, too, am interested to see what Beyonce is going to do next now that she has this platform, now that she has our attention and is acknowledging feminism. What can she do with that power? And what can we do as public thinkers and writers and activists to really do something with this moment? What can we do to go beyond talking about Beyonce? Because Beyonce is one woman and the world is half women.
I mean, she invites that conversation in such a prominent way. She opens an opportunity to push all of that forward. That is a pretty big deal in itself, given the size of her stage. Frank in Orangeburg, South Carolina. Frank, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
My question to your panel is, in what ways are you conflating these different aspects of power and personal autonomy and this power that we're calling feminism? Because Beyonce is obviously working in a tradition of powerful women like Mae West and Josephine Baker and Madonna, as mentioned by Selena, or Lil' Kim even, where the woman is taking control of her own body, her own expression, and she's going before the public in a way she chooses to present herself. And that seems to be something that's being conflated now with this, with political power, because Beyonce, let's face it, is not Simone de Beauvoir. She's not bell hooks, just like Elvis Presley, not James Baldwin or Elizabeth Wittgenstein.
Yeah, but you can't, nobody can be all that, and she's quite a lot all on her own. There is a huge tradition here that she sits in, and I'm glad you raise it, Frank. One more, Tammy in Wellington, Connecticut. Tammy, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to add that I think that Beyonce, what we confuse with feminism, and even, yes, you're right, that she does kind of make herself a target for it with when she's standing behind in front of the word. But I also think that there's this level of perfection that people have a problem with what she portrays. She wants to portray that she has a perfect family. She wants to portray that she has a perfect career, that she can do all these things. But she also has a lot of help and a lot of money to do so, where a lot of women in real time, we don't have that. If we have children, we are balancing, can we work? How often can we work? What can we do to really expand ourselves? Where she kind of just showing you, you know, it can be done. What I do like about her is that she's just showing you that she is a woman in control of her brand, of her body, of what she wants to portray, what she wants to show. It's very obvious. You know, when you're seeing, when I see her in a leotard on the stage, I don't see Beyonce feminism trying to show this. I see Beyonce competing with the Rihannas and other people, other artists of the world. She's at the age of 33 years old. She has to keep up.
Yeah.
But I also think that the other side of it is that she wants to show other women that she can do, that you can do this. You know, get up and get something done. When she asks, what are we going to do next? I say to myself, what am I going to do next? When I see Beyonce gyrating with her children, she's very happy. She looks happy because she's done it. And I want to say to myself, what can I do? But so that's my, you know, I do like what she shows.
I love it, Tammy. I appreciate your call. Inspiring, a little intimidating in all that perfection. Roxanne, a person could be almost overwhelmed by the full scale of Beyonce's image of power and perfection. Family, career, that body up on the stage. That's a tall icon.
It is, and I really appreciated what that caller had to say, because this is the reality. In our actual lives, we are working with a fraction of the resources that Beyonce is working with. So again, how do we use this entry point that Beyonce is creating and translate how we can take this kind of activism for people who can't afford perfection and the construction of perfection that Beyonce has achieved? And I think one of the better critiques of Beyonce is to look at this insistence that she craft a perfect image all the time, that her marriage is perfect and her motherhood is perfect and her career is perfect. Nobody is perfect. And so that, to me, is the kind of conversation I would be interested in having about Beyonce and her image.
Not perfect, but absolutely fascinating. And with that big word, feminist, right behind her there. It's been fun to look at it today, and we're grateful to all of you. Roxanne Gay, author of Bad Feminist. Thank you so much for joining us, Roxanne.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you to my co-panelists.
Yes, Tanya Steele in New York. Thank you so much for joining us, Tanya.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks, Roxanne and Jessica. Great conversation.
And Jessica Valenti, author of Full Frontal Feminism. Thanks, Jessica. Thanks for being here.
Thanks to everyone. That was great.
Go Beyonce. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.